part of the service, at the end of the service, we're going to have a baptism. Yeah. We're going to baptize Isaac Nelson. Isaac submitted to baptism not because his dad wanted him to be baptized, not because any pressure was put on him. Last week he came into the office and he said, it's time.
Amen.
He's submitting to the baptism because he's submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll have that at the end of the service. Now I'd like to introduce Brother Dean Francini. And what an honor to support the work in Colorado Springs.
Amen.
And we'll pray that Brother Francini preaches us so the words that God wants us to hear. We desperately need to hear from the Lord. Praise God. Brother Francini.
Thank you, brother. I don't know if that was me or what. I want to thank everyone for your prayer and your support for us. It's such a blessing to know that we have people like you that are praying for us and supporting us every month. Such a great help. And I'll just tell you, here I told you my name, but we established or started a deaf church in Colorado Springs. That started December 19th of just recently this last year. And it's been a blessing to see how God has worked through that place, to see an opportunity of deaf people that are saved. And we're not just reaching deaf people only, but we're also reaching hearing people also. So anytime you come down there, you should come visit us. It'll be a blessing and an encouragement to us. But I want to thank Pastor and your wife for just the hospitality you've given us and the supper last night. I think all I've done is just eat, but it's been good. So I thank every person and all of your hospitality. It's a blessing, again, to know that we have people like you that are praying for us so that we can be successful down there in Colorado Springs. So you have more than just that small part that your pastor was talking about. You have a big part, and we truly appreciate that from our family and from the church down there. So thank you so much. I'll say we've had an opportunity. I told him in Sunday school this morning, we've had an opportunity to give out over 33,000 John and Romans from the Bible with tracts to different people. And then we also had the opportunity to give out, it was over 18,000 EDDMs, every door, direct mailers. So you're talking over 50,000 pieces of the gospel that have spread out through Colorado Springs, and that's help from y'all. So we thank you so much for that. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you would open to Philippians chapter 4. When you find your place, if you'd stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read verses 15 through 19. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 15 says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And he ends here and says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Father, we thank you already for what's happened here this morning. Blessing to hear the singing, Lord, and to think about that lighthouse. And where would we be without Jesus Christ? Thank you so much for dying on that cross. Thank you for willingly leaving heaven and following what God had told and said. And Lord, I thank you for that plan of salvation. I thank you, knowing for sure that when I die, that I'll go to heaven, not because of me, but because of what you have already done on that cross, paying off our sin debt. Thank you so much for that, God. Thank you for churches like this one that support us, not just financially, but through prayer, God. I believe everything happens because of the power of prayer. And we thank you for these people, Lord, being here this morning. God, now I pray you'd help my voice and my hands to preach exactly everything that you want to be preached. God, I pray that they would have open hearts and open minds. Lord, I beg you, if someone here is not saved, doesn't know for sure that they would go to heaven when they die, God, I pray that you would convict their heart, help them to understand they could leave here and die in an instant and never know that. But Lord, they can know you as their personal Savior, a God that loves us, that's willing to forgive us. I pray that you give them the courage to talk to someone before they leave. Lord, those of us that are saved, help us to realize the opportunity we have to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Help us now, God. We need it. Show your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I thank you. Be seated. Paul here, of course, is writing to the church of Philippi. And he's writing them as he's discussing some things that he's done. Now, I don't have to stand here and tell you the power that Paul had in his ministry. Don't have to stand here and explain to you the things that Paul and the desire of his heart that he had. We know that Paul was laboring for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that he sacrificed and gave up everything that he had to go out and preach the words of God. Real quickly, if you'll just think about Paul's life, he was a Pharisee, knew the Old Testament law, and understand that he had a lot of power in that office. And I just think about when he gave up there on Acts chapter 9 on the road of Damascus, and he told the Lord Jesus that he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was saved. At that point, you've got to understand Paul's life was in danger because every Pharisee was now going to go after Paul to kill him. But he was willing still to go forward and continue on in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we know that he labored, and he labored every day for the gospel. He had said one time that he had wished he could be accursed. In other words, give up his salvation, that Israel would be saved. That was his heart's desire. That's all his life's goal was, to establish and get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And because of that, we see many churches that were established because of his desire and his willingness to go. Now, Paul was a great, powerful man, but I want you to understand, he knew that he didn't do it alone. Now, we know he had the power of Christ upon his life. We know that. But it was also that he told the churches, he established him, that we are co-laborers together with God. It wasn't just him, and he knew that, and he needed that support or that partnership of people. And we see that here in Philippi as he's writing, and he's thanking them. He's thanking them for what they have already done to help him in carrying the gospel to a lost and dying world, giving out, proclaiming Jesus Christ. His heart was for souls. And I'm thankful for churches as we've traveled around on deputation, started the church down there. I'm so thankful for churches that are willing to give. I'm thankful for people that are willing to go. Without that, how would we get the gospel all around the world that we are required to give? It's because of people like you. It's because of people like me. It's because of people all around this country and all around America and all across this world that have willing to give their lives and surrendered, just like Paul did. Just like Paul did. We don't have time to go through it, but in Acts chapter 16 and 17, you find where the church was established or set up by Paul. We know that he was Holy Spirit led. If you remember that story and you think about that, Paul wanted to go into Mysia, but the Holy Spirit of God convicted him and prohibited him from going down there. Why? Because he was waiting on that vision from God to tell him to go to Macedonia to establish the church there because there were people there that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we know that the church of Macedonia or the church of Philippi in that area was started and led by the Holy Spirit of God. So we know there was a good reason that Jesus Christ or God had prohibited, the Holy Spirit prohibited him from going down into Mysia to establish the church to get to Macedonia to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a Holy Spirit-led opportunity by Paul to go down there. We know from Acts that he had a broken heart. We know that he had some beatings that happened. We know that he had some punishment that happened, but Paul never gave up. He never quit. How many times was Paul put in prison? He was stoned. He was beaten with stripes at that exact place where we see the opportunity that the jailer had gotten saved. So thankful that Paul was willing to sacrifice those things in his life. He was willing to surrender everything. Didn't matter the beatings. It didn't matter of the mocking. Didn't matter of the persecution. He was still willing to go and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And we see that it's through Acts chapter 16 and 17 where that church is set up and it started. And here he thanks them for meeting a need or a requirement that Paul had. What kind of people were these people? Let's look in Acts. We'll just go through very quickly. Look in Acts chapter 12 with me. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 26. Now understand, we know the first church was there in Jerusalem, and from that church spread out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that that was through the punishment that happened, but there were men that were willing to go and preach the word of God to every people or every creature that's out there, and he was accepting the responsibility and really the blessing to have an opportunity to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. We see in Acts chapter 12, verse 26. I wrote that down wrong, so let me find that. Because there is no 26. I got a King James Bible, I promise you. And I wrote it down wrong. Anyway, we find that that's there, the place that they're called Christians. In chapter 11, hopefully verse 24, if I wrote this one down right, he was full of the Holy Ghost and faith. So we see these are people that are full of the faith of Jesus Christ. We see these are people that are full of the Holy Ghost of God. They're labeled that name Christian, not because it's a good thing, but because it's a bad thing. The enemies would call them a Christian. But can I tell you today, it's a good thing to be called a Christian. But let me tell you, just that word or the being labeled or ID'd as a Christian is not just a born-again believer. That's more of Christ-like, walking like Jesus Christ walked and doing the things that Christ has already done, then we can be labeled as Christians also. But we see these people were labeled as Christians. They were given the name Christian. They were faithful. They were Holy Spirit filled. Look in chapter 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We see that prayers would go up from these men that were willing to go out and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look in chapter 13, verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2. We see different names of men there in verse 1. And we get to verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So we see these people were willing to fast. They were willing to worship and minister unto the Lord. These people had a heart, a desire to see and do the work of God. But it was the church that were sending these people. It was the church that was sending these people. And I already told you that he says we're laborers together with God. He knew that there was a goal that needed to be met to see souls saved and lives converted. He knew in the time, those churches knew that time was short. They knew that. They knew that Jesus Christ was coming soon. The resurrection of Christ was going to happen. They didn't know when. So they were willing to stay and go and have a zeal to want to do the things of God. They were not a lazy people. And he tells them in Philippians, he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, and that's in Acts chapter 16 and 17. We see the different reasons on why he had to leave. Holy Spirit prohibited. We know he was put in prison, and he would move, and he would move, and he would move from town to town to town, preaching the word of God. Said that he would go into the synagogues, basically as his habit was, to tell them. And you think that was an easy message? I think about that sometimes. You think how easy that was for him to go in the synagogues and tell them, hey, you know that you crucified Jesus Christ, you killed the Messiah. But still he was willing to go in there and reason with them and explain to them that Jesus Christ died for their sins. That they could have an eternity in heaven forever with God the Father if they would just believe and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, understanding it was not the law that would keep them saved. You see, it doesn't matter how good we think we are. We think that we're good people. We go to church. Maybe we've been baptized. Maybe we give. Maybe we're even willing to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. But it's our faith and trust in Christ that saves us. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you were to live here for 80 years and never in your mind sin one sin. When you go before God, he's going to say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me into an everlasting lake of fire forever. Why? Because you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We must be born again. We must believe in Christ to go to heaven. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. And I'll be honest with you, I'm thankful for that, because if salvation was in my hands, I would lose it every day. Whether it was a thought or I get cut off or I get upset, my salvation's gone. But I'm so thankful that it's in God's hands, in Jesus Christ's hands, and it's sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for a God that loved us enough to send Jesus Christ here to die for you and I. Now, I'm thankful for people that are willing to go and tell people about that same gospel. But I'm thankful for churches that are willing to support and pray, because that's needed and that's biblical. That's biblical. That was the process or the plan of God for you and I. Just as our church starts to grow and we're supporting missionaries even now. Why? Because that's God's plan. And Paul says here he thanks that church for their willingness to give to meet his need. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. We'll explain a little bit more of that deeper in just in a minute. But you have to understand, Paul had a necessity. He had a need or a requirement that needed to be met. And what he says after that, he says, okay, I'm going to go out, and when I lead people to the Lord and this church gets established, understand that that is given to your account up there in heaven, okay? There's going to be a judgment one day, right? There's two. Let's just back up. There's two judgments. We have the great white throne judgment, that there's not going to be a born again person stand in that judgment before God. Why? Because we have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't have to stand before that great white throne judgment and be cast into a lake of fire. Can I say this? We already know what that judgment is. Okay, in Revelation chapter 20 talks about that, or 19 talks about not being found in the name of the Lamb's book of life. We're not there. We already know what's going to happen at that judgment. We're going to be cast into a lake of fire, eternally separated from God the Father. That's that judgment. But the second judgment we will stand before God at, and that's the judgment seat of Christ, where it says we will be judged for our good or our bad. Or as it talks about in Corinthians, it talks about our fruit. Could be hay, stubble, and wood. Or it could be over here where it's those precious stones, and it's gold and it's silver. Now, if I were to strike a match and throw it into this pile, what's going to happen? We know that the grass and the wood is all going to be burned up. It's gone. But over here now, if we burn silver and we burn gold, what happens? Well, we know, the ladies know, right? It gets more pure. It gets more pure. It's not going to go away. That's the fruit that Paul is talking about. Now, I told you in the beginning, Paul knew that he didn't go and establish the church with his own power. He had the power of God upon him, but he also knew that the church that sent him was going to support him and provide for his needs. As he established churches, we see that those churches then got involved with supporting Paul, with spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it all comes back around, and he says, thank you. He says, thank you for those things that you have done for me. Understanding that every soul that we saw saved in Colorado Springs, you were involved in. Why? Because you support us. And when you stand before that judgment one day, you will have that same fruit that we had. It didn't matter that I had the opportunity to explain the gospel to them and see them saved. It was with your support that got us there, that will be added to your account. That will be added to your account also, because you support us. That's what Paul was saying. He even clarified it more by saying he didn't desire a gift. He knew he had some needs that needed to be met. That's what he says in Philippians. He had a necessity that they met. But you know one of the best things that we see, he says? He says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. What does that mean? Okay, I understand some people go, right? We know there are people that will, they surrender. They say, I'm going to go be a missionary. I'm going to go be a church planner. I'm going to go and do whatever God has called me to do, and they go. But the second thing is, there are people that stay right here. And you can get involved with that gospel also by giving and praying and supporting and supplying through the church. That's the plan of God. That's the blessings when we look at God's plan. He's so great. God's so great. But he doesn't just say, you know what, I require you to give, and then you're stuck. No. He says if you give, he's going to provide everything that you need. It's by faith that we give that, right? And not every person's going to give $6,000, $7,000 a month. Maybe you'll give a dollar. But God just says, I put it upon your heart. I've convicted and spoke to your heart. I want you to give what I, God, am requiring to give, and I'm going to meet that need. I'm going to support or back up that need for you. And that $1 or that $15,000, it doesn't matter because God's using that for His glory and He's blessing you individually. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm sure many of us have seen this scripture before, but I just, it lines right up, it matches up with what Paul is talking about because he's writing the letter to the church of Philippi. He's writing the letter and he's sending to them. That's in that area of the Macedonian area. But he says in chapter 8, he says, of this church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Remember now, he's saying, I desire that fruit may abound to your account. He's saying, but I had a necessity. I have a need or a requirement. And he says, but it doesn't matter because when you meet that need, God's going to supply all your needs. He's going to back that thing back up. Now, what does he say about the church of Macedonia? He says, moreover, brethren, we do not wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial and affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, we don't have time to go through everything here, but I just want to tell you the church of Macedonia had the grace of God bestowed upon them. Why? We see four different things. Number one, they were willing. Number two, they were praying. Number three, they gave of themselves. Number four, they knew the will of God. But in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is as accepted according to a man hath and not according to thee hath not. What does that mean? As I'm sitting there in the pew, remember when I first got saved, Brother Steve had told me, he says, hey, now you need to start tithing. And I told him, I said, there's no way. I ain't got the money for that. And I remember him sitting there in the truck with me. He says, hey, if you withhold that tithe, God's going to get His money from you in another way. Maybe your vehicle's going to break down. Maybe you're going to get, something's going to happen. But God's going to get His money one way or another. And I said, but Steve, you don't understand. When I line this thing up on paper, it does not match. I'm not going to be able to afford it. Anyway, decided to trust God and began to tithe, and the Lord blessed. And then we started hearing this thing about missions, and I started thinking, you want me to give more money? I can't even, the tithe, I'm sacrificing getting through, and the budget is so tight, and how am I going to get through that? But decided, okay, by faith I'm going to trust God. And we prayed and God gave us an amount and we decided to give that amount so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could spread. Now I know you've heard many different stories. I don't have a great one to tell you, but all I know is I never went broke and I ate and God continued to bless. Now I won't even know it now. But I'll know one day when I get to heaven for eternity, I'm going to have an opportunity to see people that I have never met, but because I supported that missionary, those people were saved. They're going to be in heaven with us. Now, I can't explain all of that, but I can imagine we'll be standing there. Somebody might come up and say, thank you for giving so that the church could be established over in another country or another state so that person could be saved and they're in heaven now. That's that account, that fruit that we want to be involved in. It really amazes me because I think about, okay, by faith I'm going to give, but I really know the promise of God that says He's going to back that thing back up and support me back. But God puts upon every person's heart to give what He wants you to give. Now, God's a fair God, right? That's what He says here. He says, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality. Now that this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. What does that mean? God calls me to go. So I'm willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll go. Now, Lord, can't afford starting this church, really can't afford traveling around, so what are we going to do? So then there's another person or a church just like this that doesn't know sign language, that does not have that opportunity, that they can start a deaf church. So God says, well, I'm going to use these people to support you financially to get over there. And hopefully, and I say this with all of my heart, that they're going to get on their knees and pray to God that He'll protect us and use us there in Colorado Springs to reach the deaf with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you don't have to know sign language to reach the deaf with the gospel of Jesus Christ because you support a missionary that does. That's what God's saying. And he's not saying, okay, this person's going to need $5,000, so you're going to give it all. No, he says, you know what? Your $5 will be fine. Your $100 will be fine. We'll add this thing up, and your $20 will be fine. Why? Because he's a great God, and he meets every need. So that we can have the opportunity to be over there. But don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity to have those fruit or fruit that's given to your account as you stand before God one day because you support or decide to not support. So what is a church supposed to do? What is a church supposed to do? We see the New Testament church here in Jerusalem. What did they do? Well, we've seen that they've sent people. We've seen that they supported people. We've seen Paul that went there, preached the word of God. He was soul winning. And he was seeing people saved, and they established the church. He begins teaching them the doctrines and different things. We see here that they're giving. We see that God bestows the grace of God upon them because they have a willing mind and a willing heart, and they're giving of themselves. Some are going, some are giving. So what are they supposed to do? What's that church supposed to do? Well, number one, they're supposed to preach, right? We know the church of Jerusalem preached. How do we know that? Because there were 8,000 that were added, that were saved and added to the church. We've seen that. And that church exploded. I've heard people say that it was over 50,000 people. And then from there, what happened? We see they were labeled as Christians. We see they were faithful people. They were fasting and they were willing. So that church then sends men out to other areas to preach the word of God. That's the most important thing that we need to understand to do, and that's preach the word of God. Give the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, him alone. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now the world will give every idea and different conception that they come up with for a person to go to heaven. And we know it's a lie because we have the truth. We have the truth. Preach the word of God. That's what the church is supposed to do. We know that from the Great Commission. The second thing we see the church is supposed to do is birth itself or recreate itself, or as we say, plant. The church is supposed to plant other churches. Whether that's through supporting because some give, or whether that's by sending because some go. Is that not the goal of every missionary? Well, I mean, church planting missionaries is to go into that country and establish a church, to go to Colorado Springs and establish a church, to go to those places and establish a church. They're to plant or recreate itself. Think about if those 11 disciples, when Jesus Christ gave them that commission, if they'd have just said, I don't think so, and they quit, we wouldn't have the church today. But you see, it continues on because some were willing to give and some are willing to go. And thirdly, we see that it provides. It provides. That church is to provide what is needed. That's what Paul was saying. He was saying, thank you for meeting my necessities. Thank you for meeting my needs. He even says in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. And he clarifies it, saying it's not a gift. It's what I need to spread the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've already seen that that church was not a rich church. It was not a great, wonderful, huge church. It said they were in poverty, in great trouble. But God still met the need. Why? Because they faithfully gave. They faithfully were willing to go. Are you willing to give? It's a question. Are you willing to give as God leads you? I mean, are you really willing to say, I'm going to get on my knees and seek God's face and say, okay, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Give it to me and ask him for the faith also. But just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Maybe he'll say go. Maybe he'll say give. Can I say to you though, we have the promise of the word of God that he will supply what you need as you faithfully do what he says. It might be go. It might be stay right here and give. But the question is, are you willing to do what God has asked you to do. Let me tell you, I'm thankful that the church at Philippi was willing to give so that Paul could give the gospel to what we are today as the Gentiles, right? We have the gospel today because of a church way back there that started sending men, that started giving and supporting, could spread all the way out, that Paul would establish the church in Philippi, that would later support him to get through at the church of Thessalonica so that we could have the gospel today. And there's no difference, right? We say it's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow in the future, right? It's the same God. It's the same process. It's the same plan. Are you willing? Are you willing? So Paul thanks the church for them giving. And Paul tells them, hey, later, as you stand before God in this judgment that you can read later in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, if you want, to see that it's those stones, those precious stones for eternity that will stay forever, you have a part in just our little ministry down there in Colorado Springs. Seeing those deaf and hearing people that are saved, you now are included in that fruit. When you stand before God in your judgment for supporting us, you have fruit that is added to your account. That's what Paul was saying, thank you for. But are you willing? I'll say this, I'll be finished. Understand that just because if God calls you to support and provide, then when you put your money in that plate, that's not the only place that it happens. You need to be on your knees praying for your missionaries. You need to be begging God to use your missionaries. Secondly, you need to be missionaries right here in Helena and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, you're not relinquished of your responsibility because you put that money in there. That's just the start. You need to be praying, and you need to be spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ right here also. That's God's requirements upon you and I. But the question is, are you willing to go? Are you willing to give? Are you willing to get on your knees and beg God to use you and to use your missionaries to tell people that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that they can go to heaven right along with you if you're saved here this morning? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look in your words. I'm so thankful, the Holy Spirit of God. I'm thankful that Paul was willing to listen to the Holy Spirit of God and not go to my Asia when he was supposed to go to Macedonia. And he listened and he went. And we see how you use that church. It didn't even say that it was a rich, great church, but it had the grace of God bestowed upon it. Why? Because they were willing. God, we pray that people here, people all across America are willing to go and to give. To go and to give, not just finances, but give of their time and their talents and everything that people can be saved. God, now I pray that you would bless, speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, convict that person that might not know for sure that they're going to heaven. Lord, don't let them walk out those doors, ignoring the fact that Jesus Christ died for them. They've been pardoned already. They just need to receive that pardon. And God, I pray the other people, Lord, that they would be willing to support through prayer, finances, whatever. They just say, God, here am I. Send me, Lord. That's my prayer. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would convict now. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.
Page 365
this morning. Are we going to respond to that message this morning? To God's message this morning? Did God speak to us this morning? Please, God's begging us to get on our knees, to fall on our faces before him and ask him, what can I do to reach people for Christ? This morning, if you need to take time and ask God what we can do for missions, what you can do for missions, please come forward. Maybe we need to be grateful. Maybe we need to be just a little bit more grateful for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And this morning we come forward and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. If there's any other needs, please come this morning. Page what?
365.
Page 365 this morning. Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over. And we, how many here can say, you know what? God has proven himself faithful over and over. He has never let me down. Amen. Praise God. If you're here this morning and you've not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, I guarantee you this, that's one decision you will never regret. Amen. Never. Where you may be seated. This here is Isaac Nelson. When did you get saved, Isaac?
It was on a Wednesday. It was July.
Isaac, this last summer.
Amen.
Isaac got saved. And Isaac wants to be baptized and join this church.
Praise the Lord.
And with uplifted right hand, hands of members, Hallie would say, you know what? We welcome Isaac into this membership, into this body. Is there anyone be opposed beside his brothers? Cousins. All right. We're going to baptize you. And go ahead and we'll get started. We will, Charles will take care of us for the next 5 minutes or so. We'll We'll see you on the other side of the glass here in a couple minutes. Thank you.
All right, we'll sing a song while they're getting ready. You can remain seated and grab a hymnal and turn to page 307. Page 307 this morning, Revive Us Again. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah. With thy love, may soul.